Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. I'm Alec Mappa, and with me today is the queen of show business, America's sister, Lottie Love.
Hello, Alec.
Emmy award-winning makeup artist and wig expert, which makes you perfect for the show.
You know, when it comes to Drag Race, I rely on you so much for the inside info. And I just wanted to say that, you know, because we're at the top of the year. And I just want to say I appreciate, as I drink some water, your expertise, because you're like an encyclopedia. You're the Google of Drag Race.
Ooh,
yes.
I'm the Google. I'll take that. Do you know, there used to be a show when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s on CNN called Style with Elsa Clench.
I remember.
And it was this fashion reporter, and CNN used to do a fashion report that would take you to the runways of Milan and London and New York. And I loved it. And I always used to watch that as a kid. Recently, we had a very famous designer, very influential designer, pass away, Vivian Westwood.
Oh, yes.
If you were ever into the punk rock scene or Alexander McQueen or anything that Raja ever did, Raja referenced Vivian Westwood a lot. She was very influential, and she passed away just recently. So
shout
out to her. We're going to discuss all things RuPaul's Drag Race today, Lonnie, as Squirrel Friends do.
And this is a good one.
This is a good one. This is episode 5.
Yes. And what's going to happen? You're going to have spoilers?
We're going to have some spoilers alerts. So if you haven't listened to or haven't watched the show yet, watch the show, because today we are going to see if the queens can read each other.
Oh, I love this.
There's the reading challenge.
Yes!
Because reading is what? Fundamental. See who can and can't sew in the maxi challenge as they turn home decor into haute couture. It's the unconventional materials challenge.
I love it.
This one sends people home year after year. And of course, the lip sync for your life and elimination. Then we have a very special guest, the sweeter half of the twins, Sugar is here. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, we got all that out the way.
Yeah, we
because
did.
Right now, Squirrel Friends, it's time for 15 seconds to say. This is where Alec and I have 15 seconds to race and say all of our most important thoughts and takes on a topic given to us by our fabulous producers. It's season 15, and that means 15 seconds. So here we go. Alec, are you listening?
I'm listening.
Because there was a little drama about being upfront and not talking about people behind their backs, the two of us have to say how we feel about that. Is it ever really okay to talk about folks behind their back? Alec, you are first. I have the timer today. Ready, set, say.
I don't think you should say anything behind somebody's back that you can't say to their face. Having said that, I think it's okay to talk about somebody behind their back if you're taking care of somebody, if they're ill, and you have to say, oh, well, you have to do this for them, do that for them, or if you're, like, planning something nice for them, like a birthday party.
Good job!
Okay.
15 point. I gave you a little extra second.
You gave me, well, last week I got, like, 20 seconds, so let me set up my thing.
That was good!
Thank you! Thank you! All right, here we go. You ready? Set, say.
Of course you should talk about people behind their back. That way you don't hurt their feelings. I don't care. I mean, sometimes you just gotta vent. So if you vent, you vent and you release yourself. I'm sorry. Shoot me. Oh, take that back. I'm sorry.
You got to 15 and shoot me. have you ever talked to somebody behind their back who heard about it later?
No.
Or did they? You ever get busted because they walked into the room?
I will say this. I do believe that I always say whatever I say, I can say it in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that.
I think that's a good insurance policy. If you can say it while they're out of the room,
right.
And say it, if you can say something to somebody's face that you would say if they were out of the room.
Exactly. But yeah. Sometimes you just don't want the drama. You don't want to hurt the person's feelings. And sometimes you need to vent. And so if you have a good friend that you know that's like a vault that you can talk, like you don't talk about everybody behind their back to everybody to open, you know, for me. I just mm-hmm. think that that's just being real. You know, everybody wants to say don't talk about people, but we do. We talk about people right on this podcast.
Well, we're being paid to. And also, you know, it's interesting that you said that because when I do talk about people on the show, I do have in mind that they're going to be hearing it.
Yes. And you're kind. You are kind.
You're kind.
No. It's like we're talking about, you know, talking about people, giving our opinions, things like that. You do try to be kind because that's the thing at the end of this podcast. We always say, be kind to the queens.
Right.
But then sometimes, okay, what's the difference between saying the truth or what we feel, what we see is the truth? Like, we're going to talk about some of these outfits.
Okay? All right.
What's the difference?
Okay. I think that you can give an opinion without it being a personal attack.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I could say, I don't like the choices that she made. I don't like the way it's constructed, as opposed to saying, she has no talent and I think she's a bad person.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's, just like,
that's
yeah.
the difference.
Yeah, I got you. And also name calling. I don't like when people name call. And that's what a lot of people tend to do. They tend to, you know, start shaming. Yeah, and name calling instead of looking at what is it that you're talking about that you don't like about the person. Like
right.
maybe if somebody yelled at me, I don't like when you yell at me. So I was like, don't, you know, this person,
don't
they're
yell,
always
Lonnie
yelling
Love.
At me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but I won't say this person yells at me and they're an idiot. That to that's
this idiot yelled at me.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the name calling part. So I don't do that. But if a person has done something to me, or you know, if they've done something that maybe I have to critique, then yeah, I'll say something. But most of the time, I don't want to talk about them behind them. I don't want to say it in front of them because you know I'm a Cancer. You know, it'll hurt their feelings.
Yeah,
that's it.
I've lost sleep over thinking that I've hurt somebody's feelings.
See?
But also, I've seen how when a lot of people are trashing somebody, that it can turn the tide on that person. Like, I've seen
That's
that
true.
Happen in work environments and everything where enough people are saying something bad about somebody and then everybody starts to formulate an opinion based on those words.
Yeah.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Yeah.
And having said that, if somebody says this person's a monster, I can pretty much tell right away whether or not that's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could talk about this all day.
Behind somebody's back.
But you know what, girlfriends, if you want us to say something for 15 seconds, DM or message us your ideas at Alec Mappa on Instagram or at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram. Or you can find me still on Twitter at Lonnie Love. But we got to take a quick break because I got to talk about Alec behind his back in front of his face on this. We'll be right back.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back right after the elimination is where everybody regroups.
Yes.
We've discussed this before, a little bit of trivia. Shangela was the very first queen to leave a lipstick message on the mirror.
That's right. You told me that.
And then it became the tradition for the queen who eliminated that queen to wipe her lipstick message off. So last week, Sugar was eliminated. They did that Pat Benatar song and it turned into a choreographed number. And Sugar was eliminated and Spice had to wipe her message off. And Spice was clearly upset.
Yes, very, very emotional.
I kept thinking, don't cry. She's coming. She didn't die.
Well, she's going to come back. But, yeah. You know, you got to understand because they are twins, they're used to doing everything together. And, you know, Spice even said, what am I going to do? Because even though they're two individuals, they work together so much, they've been together so much, that this is very, very emotional for her. But what I love is how the other queens said, you know what? We got you now.
I love that part too.
So they stepped up and I thought that that was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. But then Spice starts to get a little messy and starts saying she was surprised the people that got saved, like one particular queen that got saved. And everybody's like looking around like, who is she talking about?
Yeah, who's she talking about?
And just as she was about to say it, RuPaul saves the day and comes in.
Okay.
Hello.
Now, I would have said something. That's the thing of like your mouth writing a check that your ass can't cash. Ooh. So just kind of like if you're willing to say it, then you should say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're willing to say it out loud.
Well, I think they were coaxing it out of her and she was eventually going to say it. But for drama purposes, it's like, boom, RuPaul came in. And was like, come on, let's do the mini challenge.
Yeah, the mini challenge. Yeah. And RuPaul enters in kind of a subdued look. I thought it was just a dark suit, but on closer examination, it had a pattern on it. It was like almost like a dark sage olive-y with a black shirt that was open, and it had a pattern on it. It was head to toe, a beautiful, beautiful suit, probably Epstein Parker or one of those designer suits that he wears. He introduced the mini challenge, which is the reading challenge.
So Rue says America's next drag superstar has to be able to read the room.
And when she says that, we know what that means. Reading is fundamental. I think a lot of kids don't even know where that comes from. There used to be a reading program when we were kids that had like a mobile book library that would pull up to places and it was called Riff. Reading is fundamental.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that's where it comes from. But also, it also comes from Paris is Burning, where to read a queen is to dress somebody down. So this was like a reading montage. They didn't have everybody's full reads. Mm-hmm. They kind of like had the best of everybody's reads. And I liked a couple of them. I liked when Lux Noir said, Marsha. And when I look at your wardrobe, it looks like it came from Marshalls.
Yeah, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I forgot who said it, but they said, Robin Fierce, swipe left.
And then Lucy LaDuca also said, everybody's giving Mistress a problem about her kitten heels, and I don't think that's fair. They start out as stilettos.
Thought that was funny. See, what is the key to a good read? Like,
the key to a good read is kind of like when you get somebody on something that is so... The way it's explained in Paris is Burning is like, we're both black queens, so you can't call me a black queen and insult me. You have to distill it to a finer point.
Okay. Can you take a joke?
I can take a joke. I think it depends on, you know, yes, I can take a joke. I've been to a lot of roasts and everything. I was one of the hosts of George Takei's roast in New York City at the Friars Club. And
I love
boy,
him.
You got to be able to take a joke. I said, I can't really make fun of George because... he's gay and Asian and I'm gay and Asian. Making fun of George Takei would be like making fun of myself if I were a toothless old Japanese woman.
I have a birthday roast. I always have a birthday roast. And I love my friends to come. And when I say they light into me, like one I remember, his name is Tony Roberts. He's a great comedian.
Yeah.
And so there were some curtains. And he says, you see those curtains? That's made from Lonnie's old prom dress. It's like, stop. It's so dumb. It's like,
you can laugh at it. You know, it's the thing is like, I think the person who has it right is Bianca Del Rio. Bianca Del Rio is an insult comic, but she's so skilled at it, and the intention is just to entertain so that people in the audience are raising their hand wanting to be read by her.
Right. It was funny because at my birthday roast, I had my this was when we were doing The Real, and I remember Tamara, one of my co-hosts, was there. And afterwards, she was getting upset. She was like, it's so mean.
Oh, like, she got defensive about you. It's a roast, honey. Relax.
I was like, honey, relax. Another one I liked, someone said to S. Titties, is there a volume lower than mute? It's like, she's just so...
Like, and Marsha said about Spice, I think it's unfair to make her compete with half of her brain gone.
So crazy. Well, the person that won was Lucy LaDuca. She won $2,500. Nice. And she really did some great read. So with that said, we go on to the Maxi Challenge.
Yes, this is the Maxi Challenge. This is the one that breaks everybody year after year. In addition to Snatch Game, one of the hardest things is the Unconventional Materials Challenge. And Ru tells the group that drag queens inspire fashion from the streets to houses of Gucci, Pucci, and Theorucci. Get it? So for this week's Maxi Challenge, they will form three fashion houses, and they will have to turn home decor into haute couture. Mm. So this is kind of like Project Runway. You know, they each have to come up with a collection, and there's three sets of four at this point, right?
Yes.
So they're all given up a number of materials. So team one, what do they have to do, Lonnie?
House of Presley. They will use Carson's Town and Country chic furnishing to make clothes. And I was like, that, first of all, can I say this design challenge? I was like, wow, this is so great. And then team two has the House of Matthews, which would use Ross's sunny Palm Springs decor, because we know that Ross loves Palm Springs.
He loves a throw pillow.
And the last is the House of Visage that would use Michelle's Jersey girl style. My house would be, the House of Love would be Detroit Street Project Wear. That would be mine.
Wow.
What about yours?
Mine would be House of Mappa, and it would be, oh God, if they had to like do a drag version of everything I was wearing in the pandemic, it would just be like Uggs, boxer shorts, and a tank top. Turn this into haute couture. That's what would, do you know, it's like you go out all the time.
Yes.
And so I'm still at the point post pandemic where I have to, like, I'm going to Vegas tomorrow. I have to host an event Thursday night, and I'm kind of like, oh, what do I have that's clean? I gotta iron this. Like, I haven't been out of the house. So there's three different groups, and remember there season six, they had a TV challenge where each queen was given a box that represented a television show, like Golden Girls or the Kardashians or Duck Dynasty. Here they were given three rooms that were decorated in the style of Carson, Ross, and Michelle.
Well, the groups were randomly assigned. The queens have to look through the room. They grab their materials to make their looks. So before we get started with that, which room would you have wanted? And what would you have designed?
I like Palm Springs a lot. And I think there's an opportunity there to make like a disco caftan. I would have made something out of the palm material, the green material, kind of like a poolside look.
Oh, that's good. I would have liked Michelle's because it's closer to my vibe as far as being Jersey. It's kind of city.
And you look good in purple. You like purple.
I love purple, and I love animal print. And then I love like being able to wear like a long gait. And since I kind of lost weight, I'm not as much into hiding my body anymore.
Right.
But I am very proud of my success and my body. It's just that when you're bigger, you tend to want to just cover everything up. And as you lose a little bit more, you kind of like expose yourself.
Feel a little more confident, a little more like,
But I have to give it out to girls like Selena S. Titties, like Lizzo, because they just show everything. Now, the younger generation, they don't care.
Yeah.
They showing their apron, they showing their ass, wrinkles, whatever it is, they're showing it all. And it, you know, and that's how you get to body positivity. So I have to give it up to them for that. But me, I was covering this. I got to.
Modesty. All right. Listen, Ru comes in and she talks to each one of them about their plans. This is where we can find out who sews and who doesn't.
I love this discussion in the workroom because, you know, you're getting everybody's opinions, but also, like I said before, you're getting people's feelings. Like Amethyst is feeling a loss because she's been on the bottom too.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to sew. She's the main person. It's like, I don't know how to sew at all.
Yeah. And at this point, all right, She seems like a really nice queen.
Yes.
And I salute her. I think she's really cool. I love that they complimented her nose and that kind of melted her heart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you find out that you're on the show, learn how to make a dress. One dress. You don't have to learn how to sew everything, but if you could learn, I think that between the two of us, we could learn how to make a dress in a weekend.
Well, I told you, I made my...
You made your prom dress.
Yeah, my junior prom dress, my suit.
Yeah, you had a pattern. Did you have a pattern?
Kids, it used to be patterns where it
was... It's still patterns.
They still have them? I need to go to Michael's.
They still have... My friend teaches pattern making it at Fit'em.
Really?
His name is Nick Varios, and he was on Project Runway, and he made it really, really far because he taught pattern making. Because he could make patterns in his head, and mm-hmm. so he worked really fast.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's how quick he is. But my grandmother had that too. You would go to the sewing store, there'd be a packet from McCall's.
Yep.
And it would have the pattern, and you cut out all the material to the specifics of your measurements.
Yep.
Either did you have a dress dummy?
No.
My grandma did.
It was in the projects. We didn't have that. Now you're being fancy.
Yeah, we didn't have a dress dummy.
You're being fancy.
No, you just had to use your body.
Yep.
And so you take those patterns, you cut out the things, and it shows you where to stitch everything together.
Yeah, and you sew it all together. And then I put it on.
Was that your Girl Scouts training?
No, that wasn't Girl Scouts. That was just me and the Detroit Public School and the economics class.
Okay. Yeah, I took home ec too.
Yeah, where they had us doing cooking, sewing. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I appreciated that because I was able to put that suit together. I didn't have a lot of money, and I was able to put that suit together, and it ripped apart after I was done, but I had a suit.
You did it, and you made it, and you had the, you wore it with pride.
And I wore it with pride.
My thing is like, okay, so I did that Worst Cooks show on the Food Network, and I discovered that I can cook anything if somebody shows me how. So if I go on YouTube and I watch somebody do a recipe and follow along, I can pretty much come close to it. And I think the thing is with like, if you get on the show, go to YouTube and learn how to make something.
Well, that's why you have to give it up to someone like Malaysia, because she took a sewing class.
She took a sewing class right before the show.
Because she was preparing. Yeah. Look, people, this is a competition.
Yeah.
If you watch it, you know you're going to have a design challenge. Mm-hmm. But Amethyst, in her regard, she feels like, well, I'm just going to be using a hot glue gun. You know, Selena has a comforter that she thinks would be a great final gown moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anitra says that her team is going to take risks. Nothing simple in the house of Presley. Mm-hmm. Marsha thinks that each of her team looks should be palm or resort. So because you got to remember, they have to be individual, but they need to be cohesive.
Right, right. So you're serving your team and your individual look at the same time.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about this more right after this break.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, Lonnie.
Okay, look.
Unconventional materials challenge.
But Spice was asked again, who should have been in the bottom but was at the top.
Right.
And so she had to answer this time.
Mm-hmm.
And basically... She thought it should have been Aura.
Aura, the Filipino girl.
Yeah.
Okay, because they were doing Snatch Game, and she had done Bretman Rock, and it wasn't as good. I think that she was saying that more because she wanted Sugar to still be there. But having said that, Aura was in the bottom three as well. I think that Aura wasn't as disruptive as Sugar and Spice were during Snatch Game.
Right. So,
yeah, Mistress weighs in on what Spice should have done. And she said that Spice should have just been honest and say it was Aura, because she doesn't have any problem talking shit about people.
It's some people that's like, I wish I was like that, but I care so, you know, I do care about people, but then you got to have an outlet. But anyway, Lux is also trying to help her teammate. She's trying to help Amethyst because she knows she doesn't know how to sew.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know why you didn't prepare. I don't know why she did not prepare for this.
Right.
It's like, it's just the one thing, unless you were that busy. This competition is too important not to have prepared.
This is a cautionary tale. When Shangela came back for All Stars, she had learned how to sew so that she wouldn't be caught at a gunfight with a knife. So this is the thing. There's no excuses at this point. This is season 15. Learn how to sew a dress.
Yeah.
So Amethyst knows she's in the bottom before, you know, they even read the results and feels like everything depends on this.
I mean, it was a lot. Like, even with the group that had to do the House of Cressley, I was nervous because it's plaids, it's leather, it's, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, the dearly departed Vivian Westwood just did a lot of plaids. So did Alexander McQueen, because he was Scottish, would incorporate plaid to a lot of things.
Those were designers.
So I know.
Were actual.
I know.
Okay. So during the workroom elimination day, Jax reveals that she was adopted and was one of only three people of color in her high school.
Yeah.
She was adopted by her parents.
A white couple.
And, you know, there was a lot of racism. She always had to constantly explain that, oh, yeah, I belong here. These are my parents, you know.
Yeah.
And she loves her parents, but I felt like she was saying that her parents still didn't understand how she felt when, I guess, maybe they didn't have friends of color, a lot of people of color.
I think, and, you know, I make this joke on stage that, you know, I adopted a black son. And in order to have a lot of black people around me, seasons 2, 3, and 4 of RuPaul's Drag Race grew up doing his hair. The thing is, as a minority, I know that if I'm in a space and I'm the only queer person in a space for a whole weekend, let's say 48 hours, I'm working on something, and I'm the only gay person from miles around, and I have to kind of fit myself into all these conversations that are in primarily white or primarily straight rooms. After that, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to kind of have to keep up with that dynamic. I'm not saying that I'm not being myself, but I am code switching to a certain degree. And then if family walks in, if a person of color walks in or a queer person walks in, something in me relaxes. Kind of goes, huh. So knowing that, it was really important for my husband and I, being non-black parents, to have a lot of black people in our son's life. So Shangela, I'm not kidding, was one of Zion's first babysitters. My good friend Michael Shepard, my friend Rachel True, my friend Ceci from Half and Half, who was a costume designer, did Zion's hair, taught me all about black hair. But what that is it takes less pressure off the child of a black kid being in primarily white spaces or spaces where they're the... I was always really conscious about putting my son in places where he was the only black person.
That was good.
You know? Just kind of like, I think that that's what Jax was talking about. There was that piece missing because you need to affirm somebody's identity.
Right. And it's a wonderful thing to adopt a child. But when you're adopting a child from a different culture, a different race, you have to take into the fact that, like what you did, you surrounded that child with people that were like that child.
Affirm their culture.
Yeah.
You could affirm their culture so they grow up feeling good about, you know, if my kid grows up not feeling weird about being black, that's on me.
Right.
I mean, you work in show business, so sometimes you enter spaces that are primarily white.
All the time. And you know what? It's really hard to be yourself. But like you said, you got to understand, I grew up in the projects. So when people say, oh, code switching is wrong, sometimes you code switch because they don't understand what the fuck you're talking about. Like, you get into a room and it's all white. Like, say, it's the industry. You can't go over there, what up, though, bitches?
Right.
They're like, oh, God. And then they'll start typecasting you and all this other kind of stuff. So you're going, you say, hello, how are you?
No.
How are you doing? How are the kids?
You're still infusing your personality into that and relating.
You do watch the words, though.
Right.
And I say that to anybody. I mean, right. There are certain things in certain ways. Yeah, you want to be yourself.
Oh, yeah. I have a mouth like a sailor, and I have to rein it in when I'm working at Disney.
That is so hard.
Yeah, that is really hard.
You can't cuss in front of those babies.
Yeah, so that's what Jax talked about. That kind of like feeling of like,
Alec,
you know, it's
don't cuss in front of the babies.
Don't cuss in front of Mickey Mouse.
No, Mickey.
He doesn't like it.
Okay.
He doesn't like it.
All right. So, but you know what? And I just wanted to button this up with Jax. What happened for Jax that changed her was that she went from Connecticut to New York. Mm-hmm. And once she went to New York, she says that she was able to find herself. Why?
Yeah.
Because New York is a melting pot. And that's why we have to have these type of cities, these type of situations, because you can always find that culture.
Diversity.
Yeah. And it's amazing because we are still so, there are parts of this country that are still segregated.
Yes.
You know? And so it's important that if you are a person who you're trying to find yourself, go to New York, go to LA, spend a week. Go there. Spend it.
So find out about other people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's very, very, very important.
Yeah.
So Lux says that she's been studying fashion for a long time. Spice says that she and Sugar played with dolls growing up. It was a passion that they had to hide. And, you know, I just love these workroom reveals, if I have to say that. I love that being able to, because I find out a little bit more about each queen. And I think that that's fascinating. And it shows that we still have to have growth in this country. Mm-hmm. So with that said, we get on to the main stage, baby.
RuPaul is in another Zali gown. This time it is bright yellow.
Yeah,
like the sun. It is a bright yellow dress. This time it's not asymmetrical. Usually she has like one shoulder shoulding. This time she had two shoulder straps, a bright yellow bow, and there seems to be some kind of like tassel, some kind of glittery thing dripping from it. She's in her gold wig. It's almost like a society wig. It's very, very nice. I'm just always kind of amazed at like, she wins every single time, and seeing her walk down this runway, it's one of my favorite parts of the week.
Season 15, you better win. She's been doing it. It's been 15 seasons. She knows her body. She knows
her body.
The look.
And she has the team.
She has the team that helps her, and they do a fabulous job. And this is one of the moments that we wait for, and we're like, what is Mama wearing today?
Always love
the
it.
Guest judge is Janelle Monáe, fabulous singer.
Have you met her?
Oh, yes. Oh, many times. We work together on When We All Vote, and I see her all the time at events.
I love her.
Such a positive energy. Oh, just positive and so cool.
She's so talented and such a good actor. I loved her in Antebellum. Mm-hmm. I loved her in, did you see Moonlight?
Yes.
Where she plays the girlfriend of Mahershala Ali and the little boy comes over. And she feeds him and she just kind of looks after him. And she gives such a quiet, small performance. And it's beautiful. And I also loved her in Hidden Figures. She was so great in that.
Yeah, she's a great actor and a great singer and a great performer. And I think she's used her platform. She's just this great woman. And I love her. She's a good friend.
And she's beautiful. She's beautiful.
That
Have you seen Knives Out? Glass Onion?
No, I haven't seen it.
She's the lead.
Really?
I just thought, oh, she's in it. It's an ensemble thing. But you find out a little more than half an hour into it that the whole movie, that she's the lead.
That's why Daniel Craig was hugging all up on her in the promo pictures. They were really cute pictures. Also, Michelle and Ross are there in the runway category is Drag Race Fashion Week. The walking order is House of Visage. Let's look at these fashions. Now, this is the moment.
So, Mistress comes out first. Mistress Isabel Brooks. And she does a very form-fitting leopard skin top that is like her whole décolletage, as it were, is showing. This is the boobs that you would be showing if you were confident about your big boobs.
Which I'm not, so I wouldn't be wearing this.
So, it's a cheetah kind of animal print, tight corset that bleeds into a black skirt that almost like, I call it a pencil skirt because it's definitely above the knee, a short skirt. And she has long black gloves and a little animal print purse and a train, right?
She
had a long black train and she did it. This is an elegant look.
And the train is what formalizes it. It makes it a little more glamorous. And I just, I love the look on her. I thought that it was well done. It looks like something that Michelle would wear.
Like, without the train, it's more of a cocktail dress. But
exactly.
She pulled it off. This one knows how to beat her face. She knows how to dress her body. I'm a huge fan of her. Next up, we have my Filipino sister, Aura Mayari, who did a two-piece. She did like a longer skirt that was just right to the knee.
Yep.
This is a zebra print. And she had a slit on the side, and then she had a matching halter top, almost like a tube top, but it had stripes with the matching zebra on top. Mm-hmm. And this looked like a cocktail. This looked very elegant. This looked very Miami Beach.
Yes. And I loved it. It was young. It was fresh, very creative. The makeup matched her outfit and she's being cohesive with Mistress. So I was excited to see the next person.
And big hoop earrings. Do you have big hoop earrings? Do you have big Jody Watley hoops?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I need to pull them out. Yeah, pull them out.
Right.
I got one with love. I got one with Boss Girl.
Nice.
You know, all of those.
It's like nice.
Round away, girl. Up next, we have Amethyst.
Okay. Amethyst comes out in this dress. If you're following two girls that know how to sew, you know, Ross's critique later on, he said, you know, you came out here, you said you were going to hot glue things because you didn't know how to sew, which was a good idea for somebody who can't sew. You're hoping the judges won't notice. We noticed. This doesn't fit her well. It looks like fabric that was hot glued together. Yeah. In kind of a Grecian column, you know, a Grecian column dress, full length with a slit up. And she has a boa that's kind of gray fur, which doesn't really go with the gold kind of creamy fabric that she used. She did a leopard panty and a leopard belt. Now, again, the idea is here, but the execution is not great.
I thought it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. But after you go after two people who sew and everything, you know.
Okay. I got him. All right.
Yeah. I agree. It wasn't terrible, but
no.
But it's in the same breath as other people who can actually sew.
Yeah, and we're talking about being individual, but also being cohesive, and it just didn't match the other two girls. So the next girl was Spice.
Now, Spice is basically, what I'm getting from Spice and Sugar and Spice is they're going to do like a Bratz doll silhouette of whatever. Like whatever the challenge is. Like it could be like, you know, Downton Abbey, and she would do a maid's uniform that looked like a Bratz doll. And this time it was no, and that's fine if that's what you do and it's done well, but I'm wondering if the judges are going to ask for more variety. Because she comes out in a micro mini, cute, and it is the zebra, like the other girls. She crisscrossed fabric strips across her stomach, kind of like almost like a bandage dress. She has a beautiful body, beautiful abs. She does a zebra tube top with purple straps that go up into a collar that says bitch. Now, this is all really well made.
Yes. She knows how to sew. She looks like Michelle in 1988.
Yes, she looks like Michelle in 1988 going to Danceteria or the Limelight in New York City.
Right.
I liked it.
Right. I really, really liked it.
And finally, the last one who actually does sew and has been studying fashion is Lux Noir.
Now, before you go into this, she initially was going to have another outfit and then in the workroom, she says, I really want to wear pants. I want to do something to wear, you know, I think I need to change up. And so some of the other queens were getting anxious because they thought, well, she's not going to have time. And so this was an important outfit that I really wanted to see. And when she came out, what did she have on?
She had on high waist zebra print pants, and she had the zebra print going horizontally across the first top, and it was matched up perfectly. Each pant matched the other pant leg perfectly. It came up into a high waist and was cinched with like a gold, almost kind of gold leather.
Beautiful.
She had almost kind of a purple satin handkerchief top with little tiny straps that was attached to a long purple cape. Now, what the purple cape did was really made her pants pop out.
Yes.
Because it was like the background for the pants. And she topped it up with an Erykah Badu satin purple turban.
And I want to say that top had gold chains. It was like gold, which gave it, with her chocolate skin, the gold on top of it. And she probably put shimmer. It just made her shine.
Beautiful.
The purple was just, it just really, really, really came together. I just, that was one of my favorite looks.
Yeah.
We got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
So now we're on to the House of Cressley.
Okay. House of Cressley. This is how we make plaid work. House of Cressley was with all that plaid material. Robin Fierce comes out in a circle skirt. It's kind of like a 1950s skirt, almost like a tutu skirt. It flounces out, but it is in the plaid. She wears it with what appears to be a patent leather knee-high boot. And then she has a leather tube top and almost kind of like a plaid gauntlet on the side, almost like a giant epaulette. You know, like soldiers wear, made out of the plaid. And because it looks like a little, like, lampshade version of her skirt.
Yes.
It's really pretty. And then she had, like, goddess braids on top. She brought black hair to the runway, black hairstyles to the runway, which I always love. Jada Essence Hall did that a lot. And I like that Robin Fierce is doing this here. I like this look.
Yeah. You know, this house wasn't my favorite house. But
it's not your favorite house, but I did like this look.
Yeah. Up next was Jax.
Jax did a croquet playing girl's outfit. She put the plaid on her boots. And remember the film Heathers? She did kind of like that. She did kind of like a croquet playing suit. She did a mini skirt, but there was aglets at the bottom, little holes, like it was a shower curtain, I believe. And then she did a matching suit top, and she did a red mullet and a collar. This looks young. I get the ideas are here. I'm not crazy about the construction.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about the hair. Mm-hmm. I wasn't crazy about... I mean, the jacket is really hard to put together.
Yes.
Which the judges did say that it didn't fit. It came out too...
Or it could have been zhuzhed a little more.
Yeah.
I give her an A for effort because she made a coat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
I mean, and the boots, I mean, she tried. So, I mean, this, to me, it was just hard. But next is Anitra. Yeah.
Next up is Anitra. And she did kind of like a superhero kind of version of Carson Cressley's thing. She all chose like dark blues and denims, almost like a denim color. She wore kind of like a side skirt that was attached to a belt, so one leg was exposed. So, and then she had a top with her midriff showing that was like long-sleeved, and it was made up of a dark blue pattern with a light blonde wig. I feel like this veered furthest away from like the country aesthetic. And this was like a whole other like nightclub outfit.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As you can see, the next one is Selena S. Titties.
Selena S. Titties, yeah. She wanted to, she had that giant plaid comforter and she wanted to make a moment out of it, a gown moment, but it just kind of turned into this big bulky train that was attached to like a brick red color suit and a brown leather miniskirt. And it was kind of, do you know like what Lux did was very smart because her bold choice was backed up by a solid. So they complemented each other. I don't think these two things go with each other.
This, like I said, this house to me needed work. This house needed a contractor to come in and renovate it because I think they all felt like, okay, let me show my knees. Let me show. And I'm like, you know, even with the comforter, to me, make pants out of the comforter.
Yeah.
You've got all that material or make a nice jacket. Make a long draping jacket instead of just, you know, putting it on your back and then walking around with it.
So it
was so much.
I like the idea, but I just didn't think that this went with the thing that she had on underneath. And that's how you give an opinion without it becoming a personal attack.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on to House of Matthews.
Palm Springs, here we come. Sasha Colby, our favorite showgirl. She dressed as J-Lo at the beach in Miami.
Beautiful.
She had her hair up in this beautiful top knot, almost like a Janet Jackson top pony, this jewel-encrusted choker. And J-Lo's Grammy dress, where she was in that tropical print, she made a bikini out of that. that was belted. And swimwear is tough because things have to fit exactly. This was a halter bikini. It fit her exactly. It was body, adi, adi, adi. She made a kimono robe, a robe with kimono sleeves that was absolutely beautiful. It was pink on the outside and it was lined with fuchsia on the inside. Two different shades of pink. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Up next, Lucy LaDuca.
Lucy LaDuca.
Looking like a drunk aunt, but she looked great.
Like, yeah, she looked like an older drunk aunt. She looked like, remember on Mad TV, that cabana chat
with
that lady, the society lady. Pool boy, the dance of the pool boy. She looks like that. She looks like a Palm Springs retiree lady in resort pants. She has like the 60s mod bell-bottom pants that she wore with a wedge and this a puffy blouse up top that was made out of the patterns from Ross's throw pillows, and it's perfect.
It's perfect. It fit. It fit the theme. It fit with Palm Springs, and it fit with Sasha. So I was excited. Yeah.
And we're looking at a static picture right now, Lonnie, of this outfit when it moved. But even standing still, you can look at this and say, she knows how to sew.
Yeah, she definitely. Yeah. I mean, the pants will tell you if, you know, because of the pattern.
Right.
If she knew how to sew, she knows how to sew. Up next is Malaysia Baby Doll Fox.
Who said she didn't know how to sew, but it created an entire hot pink church lady outfit for Palm Springs. Now,
so
how
cute.
She incorporated Palm Springs was she took the hot pink that were incorporated in the other looks and she tied it with the Palm Springs print. You know, the white and green print. She turned that into a belt. She gave herself a cape that was aligned with the pink, like Sasha Colby's was. And she gave her a church hat. She gave herself a church hat. She's in like a Nene wig, Nene Leakes, kind of Dennis the Menace, platinum blonde wig, pixie wig. And she has on that frisbee church hat that is absolutely fabulous.
Now, what's the difference between what she did with she wanted to make a cape and what Estides with?
Her cape goes with everything. It's incorporated into the look. It doesn't look like two separate things that don't go together.
Okay, got it.
Selena Estides has this giant comforter, but she's like dressed, the top half of her looks like she's going to work at an insurance company. You know, like she's like the really glam office girl. It didn't go with her outfit.
Got it. But it worked. Yeah. Malaysia's outfit worked. And last but not least, Marsha
took the whole print and did the opposite of Lucy LaDuca. She did a young girl at Palm Springs. This is a girl who goes to the Parker for brunch. She took the Palm Springs palm tree pattern. She made herself a pleated skirt. All the young girls with bodies all showed off their midriffs. So she had a midriff top that had puffy sleeves and she did her hair kind of like blonde Barbie. And it's really cute. It's a really young look. And again, she knows how to sew. She looks like she knows how to sew.
Who was your favorite outfit, Alec?
I think Sasha Colby kind of really knocked it out of the park for me because it was like the most done. It was like, okay, there's no guesswork here.
I loved Lux. I loved her outfit.
Me too. I did like Lux.
The only thing that when the judges came to discuss was that Sasha couldn't take her jacket off. And I think that is the only thing that didn't get her to the top.
Oh, yeah. Janelle said she saw her struggle because there was hesitation. But Sasha came back with the answer that I didn't want to show my bare butt on national television.
Right.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was funny.
So the judges gave their critiques and deliberated. I believed with everything they said pretty much because the top two were Lux Noir London and Sasha Colby. The winner is our dear little Lux Noir London, who made that fabulous look. It was really, really well done. Cash prize, $5,000.
But who's the two bottoms?
Two bottom is Amethyst and Selena Estides with her comforter cape.
Damn comforter.
That comforter cape.
Damn it.
And again, they all have the same thing. It's kind of like her makeup was good. Those two things didn't go together. And Amethyst, it just looked like when you're up against girls who've really pulled it together, it just looks sloppy.
I have to say again that Lux wanted pants. And sometimes when you want something, that can make all the difference in the world. Because if she didn't have those pants, maybe she would not have won the challenge.
I thought Sasha was going to win. But, you know, again, top two doesn't hurt. They lip sync to the song Q-U-E-E-N by Janelle Monáe. I love it, the added pressure of having to lip sync a Queen song. You know, in front of the queen who sings it. Were you there when Widow Von Du had to lip sync in front of Chaka Khan?
No.
She had to do This Is My Night by Chaka Khan in front of Chaka Khan.
I don't Katya, even know that song.
This is my night.
Oh!
Yeah, this is the part where you make fun of my terrible singing.
No, it's okay. I'm not doing it. I'm not talking behind your back.
Tick, 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 tick.
I'm going to say it behind your back.
Okay, say it behind my back.
Alec doesn't know how to sing. Okay. Hey, Alec.
Hey, I just came back from break. I was really dehydrated. We talked so long, and I was like, why are all the producers laughing? Is it somebody's birthday? Happy birthday to you. Why are they telling me not to sing? Lottie,
were you talking about my singing? Of course not.
Of course not. Katya had to do a Olivia Newton-John song in front of Olivia Newton-John. I think that must be nerve-wracking.
That's pressure, you know what I mean? Because you want to get it right. You want to get it. Right. And this particular lip sync, how did you feel about it? Because when I was worried.
I was worried. Amethyst didn't look like she could really move in that dress. Mm-hmm. And Selena was lip syncing for her life, literally. She did a cartwheel into the splits, and she really kind of threw herself into this challenge, literally. And she ended up winning.
And that meant that Amethyst was sent home.
Yeah.
So what was her exit line, Alex?
She took a breath to say something, like, inhaled, and then she just walked off. Like, she changed her mind. It made Rue laugh. Rue thought it was funny, and she says that, you know, she's only been doing drag for 2 years, and she's excited to see where her drag goes from this and where she will be in 5 to 10 years. I think the exit line is very important. I think it's become important ever since Vanjie kind of reinvented the exit line. You could be remembered for your exit line.
Mm-hmm. And here again, we've been talking about this since the beginning of this episode, or beginning of this season, is how experience is very important in this competition.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you're beginning to see. You had Sugar, who got eliminated. Now you have Amethyst, who only has two years
experience.
Experience counts. Experience matters. And now you're seeing it.
Wow. Cautionary tale. Experience counts.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of experience, we're going to talk to the queen of the Sugar Babies about their experience this season. And also TikTok, so we can explain it to Alec and more when we come back. Sugar joins us next.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Our guest today is one half of the first ever set of twins on Drag Race. I also kind of feel like she's one of the CEOs of TikTok.
Yes.
And hopefully she can teach me a thing or two. Please welcome to the program the super sweet sensation, Sugar!
Sugar! How are you?
Good, what an introduction. Oh my God.
Well, listen, you're on
Squirrel Rounds.
You're on Squirrel Friends. We bring it. You know, everybody listens. They're so excited about all of the queens that come on the show. How are you doing?
You know, I just feel like a sweet, sugary squirrel. I'm loving it.
Now, how has life been since becoming a Rue girl, Sugar?
You know, my life has been completely in the gutter. I mean, I leave the house and like people just... Allegedly, I'm a celebrity now. Like, I can't even take out the trash without people stopping me. Like, it's exhausting. Like,
wow.
I just want to go back to being unknown in the suburbs.
Oh, nonsense. You must have had, like, people doing that to you from your millions of TikTok followers already. I mean, you must have been recognized from that bit. You had a bit of fame coming into the show.
Right. You know what it is? I'm a Cancer. I'm such a homebody.
Me too.
So, okay.
And Lonnie's a Cancer.
Yep.
Are we all Cancers?
All of us.
Yeah, all of us.
Wow. This is going to be great. We're connecting.
When's your birthday?
July 19th.
The 14th.
July 10th.
Oh my God, look at that. Okay, it's gonna be a good combo. Okay, great. But yeah, so I'm Cancers. I'm such a homebody.
Me too.
So like, I really don't leave the house. And when I do, the thing with TikTok is, yes, we had our little transition videos where maybe we'd be like out of drag for a few seconds. Yeah. But I wouldn't be recognized unless I was in drag or with Spice, because that's how we would be known. So, which is nice. Now with the show, I'm like, oh, people know who I am out of drag, which is like, it's just more of an excuse to not leave the house, right?
Well, explain to Alec about the whole TikTok trend and how did that start for you?
Yeah, so with TikTok, you know, it really was such a blessing, because when me and Spice joined, we were just finishing up school at FIT. We were doing fashion photography.
Oh.
And we had just come out to, I mean, us coming out, it was like, bitch, the door was see-through, like everyone knew. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I got so far removed from the core of who I was, you know, that middle schooler that was just obsessed with, you know, like society gets the best of you. And I felt I was not who I was, right? I was like, it was no. So it was when I came out, and then I came back home because I was not able to afford to go to school for the 4 years. I can only, my line is went to FIT and got my degree. Now all these petty bitches trying to come for me. so like, it was just a 2-year program. I'm like, I got to start paying these student loans. Like, you know, so I went home, and it wasn't until I was fully embraced all of who I was, I realized, oh no, I don't want to be. I was selling myself short for years of just being behind the camera, because I started taking photos of my dolls, and I'm like, okay, well, I have to do a career. I have to take photos of other people. But it became unfulfilling for me, because I'm like, wait, I was behind the camera this whole time because I didn't see myself as a superstar. I was kind of putting it onto others. I didn't think I was allowed. So, you know, once I came out and was working on myself and fully accepted all of who I was like, oh wait, I can be the person in front. And that's how drag happened. It was all my favorite things. And then one thing led to another. We're like, we should just post these videos on TikTok. Mm. TikTok was not a thing. It was way before, like, it blew up during quarantine. So it was still, it had a very, it was, little kids were on it. Like, it was not what it was. But there was something in both me and Spice's instincts. We were like, well, one, we felt like we were just made for the app. I'm like, what, we just had to go in here and be crazy? Perfect. Mm-hmm. But there's something I was like, wait a minute, there's something here. And I always say, trust your instinct. We were going down the road less traveled. There was no such thing as a TikTok drag queen, or really a drag queen that was able to kind of build their own name without really going on the show. Of course, there have been a lot of exceptions. But, you know, the normal trajectory and success for a queen has already kind of been, you know, laid out for us. Like, you know, you work in the bar, you work in the club, then you hit the show, and then you go on tour. So it was definitely scary to go down that path. I mean, I don't want to go down that path. I kind of wanted to follow everyone else. But, you know, me and Spice, we were in the suburbs. We couldn't be going into the city every night. I mean, we didn't even have money to pay our student loan. So, like, to do a, you know, the Long Island Railroad, to, like, go into the city, then go back, and then to make $50, we're like, yeah, so you ask one question and I'm opening up the Pandora's box. It's like, babe, whatever happened to keeping it short and sweet.
Well, listen, I love the story so far that you were kind of paring yourself back in order to fit in high school. I think that's a journey for a lot of queer kids. And then you find out you don't have to do that anymore. You start putting yourself on TikTok. My question is, was that a goal to have as many followers as you did? And when people did start following you, when did that happen? How soon after you started posting that did the phenomenon grow?
So you know what it was? It was a full different kind of landscape on TikTok. We were posting all of our videos in drag, and people thought we were James Charles. Like, because, you know, it's interesting. I live in my own little, like, gay bubble, LGBTQ. I'm like, everyone watches Drag Race. Everyone knows what queens are. But these young kids that are in elementary, that's what the app, the demographic was in the beginning. They didn't know what a drag queen was. And that shocked me. I'm like, wait, what? They were like, oh my God, you guys are just like James Charles, like a boy in makeup. But I think that's kind of why we started to take off, because it was something these kids hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. So then we kind of realized, we're like, oh, this is our opportunity. We can grab their attention with, like, this look, right? That's the magic of drag. It's like a, you know, I like to say it's the WTF factor. Like, you know, to go viral now, it's like you want to make people stop and think, like, WTF. So we kind of learned quickly, but, oh, we can kind of, you know, through drag, we can get their attention. But immediately we're like, this is our opportunity to educate. So especially right. beginning our videos, that's how we were growing. We were explaining the difference between what being trans and a drag queen is, what being an AFAB queen is. And we were so new to the community, but we felt, you know, this is almost not our job, but we felt it was kind of just our mission to be like, oh, wait, we're going to grab these people's attention through entertainment, because no one wants to feel like they're being taught a lesson. We're like, through entertainment, right. we can, right. you know, be that visibility for them, one. So, you know, when these exactly. kids are in middle school and they're like, oh my God, the kid in our class, they're wearing makeup. Are they like trans? Are they trying to be a girl? Are they a drag queen? And they could be like, because kids have literally messaged me this, like, oh no, like, I'm like, oh, Sugar and Spice, they're drag queens, but they're not. So like, you know.
I get you.
I think that's the positive. Yeah.
That's a okay. very much of a positive, because now you have 7.7 million followers
yeah.
on TikTok. The question I have for you is, what was the adjustment going from drag online
yes.
to being with so many queens in person on an actual show? Right.
You know what it right. is? It really, it wasn't so much of adjustment, and I was so excited to be around the other queens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that showed.
Yeah,
that
I guess showed. So, yeah.
Yeah, both of you kind of came in. The way that you interacted with the other queens defied kind of like a preconceived
right.
notion. I think a lot of the queens thought that since you were right. TikTok famous, you were going to come right. in with kind of an attitude, but both of you were so sweet.
Right.
I mean, you know, just loving drag so much, and, you know, it wasn't, I remember, and we have it on YouTube, like the first time me and Spice, our parents weren't home, and we clumped down the hallway in our heels. It was like, I was set free because everything lined up. And when yeah. you have that clarity, when you have that alignment, I honestly feel like everything else falls into place. So I really wasn't even aware going in the first day that the queens were really reacting to us that way, because I felt like I was like rolling on ecstasy, because me and Spice got to meet up before. I'm like, we were on such a high vibe. And honestly, I feel like I was the whole time. I was just having such a fun time. Just because, you know, through drag, you get to be a little kid. You get to play in the sandbox.
Right.
So
right.
that's what it felt like. And then to kind of get that reaction from the queens, maybe this is sad to say, but I was kind of used to that. I didn't really have the best experiences, because a few months prior to doing the show, me and Spice had moved to LA. And unfortunately, but I can't blame other people, because I think my over-eagerness of, you know, I finally moved to LA, I was out of the suburbs. I'm, oh my God, I could be a part of the drag community in LA, especially.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can come off as neediness to other people. And, you know, so I think people
right.
feel it as me maybe almost trying too hard. So I understand both angles, and like, I'm not upset with the other girls for not immediately getting us.
Well, you came in with a lot of energy, and I think that Lonnie and I were talking. We've been talking about you quite yeah. a bit on the show. I put forth the analogy that if this was a stand-up comedian competition, and the way for stand-ups is to right. like perform in the clubs and earn your stripes that way, and it's like you two have bypassed that. But regardless, you really cast a spell on Mistress Isabel Brooks. Like, she's adopted both of you as her drag daughters. Yeah. Tell us about that. How did you melt that heart of stone?
You know what it is? It's, so I'm, spiritual sugar will come out, but I am fascinated about what is underneath the masks we all present to the world and society.
Right.
So I think it was realizing maybe after a few long bus rides, or just being able to be in each other's presence, me and Mistress especially, and then Malaysia too. So she's definitely a part of the drag family with us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all realize we're way more similar than we think. And I think it's
love that.
A beautiful story, because Mistress, you know, she represents that old school drag, and especially the way she has come up. And we could not be more polar opposite.
Right.
But realizing, wait, we both have struggled with being accepted by our family. And wait, we're doing drag to connect. And, you know, it's not for all of this fun, almost superficial surface stuff. Like, at the end of the day, we're humans. We are all so much more alike than we realize. We are literally hardwired to connect. I mean, drag is literally the physical representation of putting on a wall to the world. You know, like, you are literally putting this all up. And it's such an interesting thing, because at the same time, one, like, when I'm in drag, that is the most revealing I can be. It's the most vulnerable. But at the same
right.
barrier, you know, it's almost like I'm presenting this way. Because so, how can you really get so close to someone when they're done up like that? It's almost...
I think there's two things going on at the same time.
Two things.
There's a duality.
Duality.
You're vulnerable and invulnerable at the same time.
Bingo.
But I have to tell you, because we have very little time left. You have a very busy schedule.
I ramble on. Mr. Ramble, go on.
No. I want to applaud you. There's more to you than meets the eye. I love hearing about the spirituality and the ability to connect. But you have a very powerful platform right now with all that's going on in this country, especially since you have the eyes and the ears of young people.
Yes.
You know, with all of the prejudice going against non-binary and transgender and drag queen and the queer community, you have a real opportunity to kind of bridge the gap with the young people. And I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really feel, not that it's my duty because that feels dramatic, but I feel like we should all understand our purpose in life. And it takes a lot of people a while to learn. And for me, it's like, I'm still learning every day what that is. Mm. But as of right now, in this moment, I genuinely feel that purpose is to uplift, inspire, and hope that just by existing, being in front of people's eyes, that can change some point of views. Because it all comes down, we all live through our own point of view. We all live through our own lens. And the second, even if there's a little bit of a, if someone can like either watch a video of me and Spices on TikTok or, you know, watch the show or watch whatever it is, if they can go to bed at night and maybe something shifts a little bit, then I think that's like a win for everyone.
Did you learn anything by being on the show from the other experienced queens?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same thing.
Oh my God. Yes. I mean, day one you saw Mistress was like, baby girl, we got wig glue. Like, hello. you know, like, she was like, girl, look, we gotta get it together. Yeah, so much. Like, just even just the little things, like everyone was, I remember the first day you saw me like rushing to get ready and it was a mess and Spice couldn't find her wig and lashes are flying and all this stuff.
Right.
Lucy was like, oh girl, pin your wig in so it doesn't fly off. Cause you know, like I'm used to just like standing still and looking pretty. Like I don't have to worry about the wig flying off. So there were so many different things and it's been great. And the queens have even said, I've learned so much through you and, you know, using social media as a platform. So it's been magical for sure.
All right. So are we going to be seeing more live performances from the two of you, do you think? Because it's hard to get me out of the house too.
I know. As cancers, you know, we want to like, chill and be unbothered. Yeah, for sure. We're literally going to be at Chicago's next week. We have so many fun performances and things coming up. So, you know, people always ask, like, what's next? I'm like, everything. Because I just do this for fun. It's like, once I realize, I'm like, wait, you are what you feel. It's all how you feel. So it's like, I just want to feel like you're, like, on drugs, basically, without being on them is addicting. Mm. So, like, I just want to continue that. And hopefully inspire others to do the same.
You know, Alec That's always so says that drag is like a superpower and a superhero identity. What would be your drag superpower?
I think the power would be the ability to look inward because all the answers are inside. The second we think it's all outside of us, but it's all in here. And we just gotta look inward, look in the mirror. Maybe you need a little bit of sugar in your life. Maybe a little sugar and spice to help you get it.
Wow.
But it's all there, baby. Okay. It's all there.
Okay. My mind is blown. You are the exact opposite of what I thought you were gonna be like. There's so much more to you than meets the eye. And I love this deeper side of you, and it's so great. And I love that the intentionality that you talked about with your videos, because I think that's what people hooked into you. And I hope that you'll repost Squirrel Friends
to
your millions of viewers so that I have 400,000 less followers than you do on Instagram. So I need your help. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
One thing about Miss Sugar, I am all about the content. And I appreciate what you guys, I've been a listener of this podcast for seasons. And I just love, especially being a part of this fandom now, I think it's so cool that, you know, we get to be fed through podcasts like you guys. And, you know, like, I'm all about the content. So, of course, we will be sharing. And
speaking of content, can we find you on the socials?
You can find me at Sugar's World on Instagram and then TikTok. Me and Spice, we have a joint account because I guess we're twins or something. At Sugar and Spice. And And, you know, maybe find me at a local gay bar near you. Maybe, maybe not. Honestly, like, find me at a Trader Joe's in the Everything Bagel section.
Oh, me too. I'm obsessed with this. Me too, girl.
Listen, Sugar, you are too sweet. And thank you so much for taking time.
One more question. We have one final question before we let you go. Have you received a cease and desist letter from the Bratz doll company?
Fortunately, it's been the opposite.
Oh, okay.
You know, we might have some things in the works, so stay tuned for Transpice the dolls that have come to life. Ooh.
Ooh, making money, honey. You are too sweet.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are
delightful.
Y'all made my day, seriously.
Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Episode 5.
I really enjoyed this.
I did too. I just feel like such a cranky old queen when I talk about the sewing. I just want everybody, listen, if you can hear my voice and you're thinking about going on RuPaul's Drag Race, even before you submit your tape, learn how to make a dress. Yeah. Learn how to make a dress and make it a cute dress. Make it a mermaid dress. Make it a form-fitting dress with tulle that comes out as a silhouette that looks good on everybody. Have your Snatch Game character picked out and have 5 minutes of stand-up and a rap to go over.
Listen to Queen Alec, please, because you could win. Listening to us. Look, this is the reason why Squirrel Friends, if you're considering doing this competition, we're giving you the behind the scenes knowledge the years of it, of analyzing. We talked to RuPaul, we talked to Michelle, we've seen and been there. So keep on listening to us, because if you are planning on trying to be on this competition, we can help you win.
We can help you win.
And with that said, tip the queens too. If you talk to them online, tell them, hey, at least you tried.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, at least you try. Don't be mean. You know, let's just be encouraging. Mm-hmm. Light shade is fine, but let's just be nice.
There's a person on the other end of that keyboard who will read that and have feelings about it. So just bear in mind.
And don't forget to tweet us or DM us if you have questions. There is someone that I want to, they're a fan. They're always retweeting when I post.
Wellington.
That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, Wellington is fabulous. We love you, Wellington. Wellington posts our socials, our media each week. He posts about the podcast. If you're coming to listen to the podcast for the first time, welcome. And if you're a return person, welcome. We're so grateful to you. You can leave messages for Lonnie Love at Comic Lonnie Love on Instagram and at Lonnie Love on Twitter. You can leave me messages with my almost 36,000 followers.
Look at
Lonnie.
You.
It goes up every week.
Wow.
At Alec Mampa on Instagram, I do read all of my DMs. And if you DM me, I will read your message on the
Wellington,
air.
Just send me a message. I don't do DMs. Okay, you can listen to Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you like this episode, make sure to rate and review us 5 stars, please, and tell all your friends.
Watch all new episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 15 every Friday on MTV.
We'll be back next Friday for an all-new episode of Squirrel Friends, the official RuPaul's Drag Race podcast.
See you then.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.